Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, and we're going on planetary missions approved and extended by NASA. This is most significant because the planetary robots have brought back a treasure trove of data, some of which we will discuss later on about Mars. But right now, Apophis is the one that catches a lot of attention. Bob, what is Apophis? What is OSIRIS-REx?
Well, before I answer that question, John, I would like to just point out that what is going on here is that NASA has announced this week that it is going to extend the missions of 8 different planetary probes. This includes Mars Odyssey, Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, MAVEN, Curiosity, Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, New Horizons heading out into the Kuiper Belt. But as you say, OSIRIS-REx was the one that caught the most interest immediately, because what they've done with OSIRIS-REx, that's on its way back to Earth right now to return its samples from the asteroid Bennu. But once those samples are returned to Earth, OSIRIS-REx is still operational and still functioning, and its science team had proposed last year that they could then reorient the spacecraft and send it out to visit the asteroid Apophis, shortly to arrive at Apophis shortly after it flew past the Earth in 2029, and then fly in formation with it for a considerable period of time. Now, Apophis is of importance because it is considered to be a potentially dangerous asteroid. It is going to do a close flyby of the Earth in April of 29, and then after that, it will have two later orbits, one most interesting in the 30s and then in 2068. Could conceivably both hit the Earth. The odds are small. The 68 flyby has the greatest chance of hitting the Earth, 1 in 150,000, which, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's there. And it all depends on what happens when it does its 29 flyby and then the flyby in the 30s, because when it gets close to the Earth, the orbit gets chaotic. It's very difficult to predict what will happen after the fact. That's the keyhole it has to go through. If it goes through a specific location, if it goes past the Earth, the orbit will be shifted to hit the Earth later. So they don't know that. And so the more information they can get about Apophis now, the better we'll be positioned should its orbit end up, targeting the Earth down the road. And so OSIRIS-REx is in orbit. It's there. Why throw it away? Might as well send it to Apophis and get a lot of very good data of that asteroid from very close up. They won't be able to get a sample from it. That's already been done. You know, they have used up the equipment for doing that, but they can get a lot of information. And so that's the big story. But the other missions are all extended as well, which is great because it means more observations of Mars and of the Moon over the coming years.
Bob, a detail about repositioning OSIRIS-REx to Apophis. What is it that they can achieve by flying next to it? Is that experiment where a little bit of an object next to an asteroid could steer it away from Earth? Is that what they're going to play with?
That's not the plan. No, I don't think that's the plan. The mass of the OSIRIS-REx is not big enough, though, of course, its presence will affect its path a tiny amount. And so they'll study that. That'll tell them a great deal about Apophis's mass, which then makes possible that exact mission later on. You know how much mass you need to affect its orbit. Mostly what they're going to do is try to find the mass of the object. It's how much of a robopile it is, its shape, its albedo, so you know how bright it is. That tells you, because brightness affects its path as well in orbit, because the sunlight can actually change its path. And so the more information you have about it, the better you're positioned to plan a mission later to move it if necessary. So that's the main goal of this. It's not to move it, it's to learn about it, so we can do better later.
And the other missions, the extended, does this include Europa Clipper? Is that an extended mission?
No. This is only extended missions that are in orbit or flying at the moment. Europa Clipper hasn't flown. It hasn't even launched. And it's several years away. These are all missions, the orbiters around Mars, Curiosity on Mars and Gale Crater, InSight. These are all missions that are already operating. So NASA has committed budget to keep them operating for at least 3 years more. So the only one that isn't 3 years more is InSight, because they expect it to run out of power before the end of this year. Should somehow it get it's a dust devil cleans off its solar panels and it gets more power, they will extend that mission at that point, but that's not expected.
So this includes Ingenuity, the brave little toaster.
No, it does not. This is not. No, there's no mention here of Perseverance, because Perseverance already has funding through a period of time. This was extending missions whose funding was going to run out, like Curiosity. But Perseverance is already funded through a period of time because that's part of its nominal mission. Not finished its nominal mission yet.
From the solar system, we go to the surface of the planet Mars, and Bob takes us to dry ice. Why is this significant at the South Pole, Bob?
This is the South Pole has a thin top layer of dry ice, carbon dioxide, overlaying the water ice cap. And scientists have been trying to figure out the future of that dry ice as well as its past. And what scientists now think they have determined, though they don't have visual confirmation of this, they think that the dry ice that caps the ice cap of Mars, South Pole, some of that dry ice is in glaciers that are actually active and moving. That's what the conclusion of this science paper that I posted links to on Behind the Black. It has some uncertainty because no image yet has shown movement on these dry ice glaciers. What they've done is they have done some computer modeling to determine that these glaciers have got to be moving to exist. They would have gone away if they didn't move. And what happens is they move into the troughs or basins where they're protected from in warmer temperatures, which means they can survive. And that's been a mystery. Why are they there? They should have gone away, and they haven't. And this is the theory, that they are moving and active and moving into the basins to protect themselves, John. They are the first active glaciers on Mars that have been detected.
And is that significant for colonies, Bob, or is it just...
No, this is the South Pole. This is just understanding the climate of Mars. We have theories about the climate and how it has cycles depending on the tilt of its rotation, and that's important to understand what we find on the planet itself. And so you wouldn't settle on the South Pole, but if you know the better history of the climate, you have a better idea of where in the more amenable latitudes to settle and why.
We go to the NASA robot probe InSight, which is not healthy, but there's data. And you've talked about this data before, Bob.
Yes, this was something announced last fall, that during the summer in August and September of last year, InSight had detected the two strongest earthquakes, Mars quakes, that had yet found on Mars, magnitudes of 4.1 and 4.2. Well, scientists who run InSight have now published a paper detailing what they have figured out from those two quakes. One of those quakes they've specifically located occurred in the largest canyon in the solar system, Valles Marineris. And I guarantee you that they're trying to take high-resolution pictures of that spot to see if they can see any changes. I'm going to do some searching myself to see if I can spot that. The other quake, they could not locate specifically, but they have a rough idea of areas on Mars where it could have been. In both cases, this is, once again, trying to understand more about the interior of Mars as well as its surface in terms of earthquakes, where, if there's going to be any quakes on Mars, where they would locate. What's interesting about one of the two quakes is they couldn't locate where it was because it was 94 minutes long. That was the longest they've detected so far. As far as I know, that's longer than anything you see on Earth. It also is very complex, so that makes it hard to locate where it was, John.
We go to a NASA probe that needs a little luck. It's Lucy. What is Lucy, Bob?
Lucy is a probe that's going to the Trojan asteroids that orbit with Jupiter. It's going to visit like 8 to 12 different asteroids. It has solar panels that when launched, it was supposed to open up to give it full power. One of those two solar panels did not deploy entirely. Got a picture on Behind the Black so you can understand what did not happen. They're getting about 90% of their power up to now, but they really want to try to get that solar panel deployed and latched completely. And so they now have announced that they're going to attempt to do this in a two-step process beginning May 9th in about 2 weeks. And the idea will be to try to pull that that panel fully open and in a position so that it then can latch. And we'll just wait and see if that works, John.
And again, the surface of the planet Mars, Bob takes us to the Rule Valley. Do I say that correctly? The Rule
Valley? As far as I know, you do. I'm not sure. The Rule Valley is a canyon that flows into Hellas Basin, which I like to call the Death Valley of Mars. It's the deepest spot on the surface of Mars. And the Rule Valley is interesting because almost every picture of this valley shows ice or glacial features. And so they had a great picture from Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter that showed the eroded floor of a 10-mile-wide unnamed crater right next to the Rural Valleys that was eroded but clearly looked like it was eroding, sublimating ice. So I posted it. It's kind of cool. Gives you an idea of how icy that region is. This is an area on Mars where they pretty much find lots of ice, all easily accessible.
Last time I checked, the Milky Way, our special place, is the product of collisions between galaxies over a great period of time. Bob also has found colliding galaxies, not ours, somewhere else's. What does this demonstrate about galaxies, Bob?
Well, what this demonstrates is that Hubble can take really cool pictures. That's how I look at this. They are taking a string of amazing galaxy images from Hubble right now, and they're all part of a project to try to better understand the gases that come in and out of galaxies, how galaxies interact with each other, etc. And this particular image was discovered or voted to take a better picture of by a citizen science project called Galaxy Zoo. Citizens take a look at all the Hubble lower resolution images, and they find unusual shaped galaxies and suggest them to be pictures of. So this is a picture of two galaxies that are actually in collision at the moment, and because of that, they're kind of warped and distorted, and so it produces this very strange amoeba-like, like tadpole-like shape. It's really spectacular and cool, John. That's the best part of it.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going space engineering. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.